at the end of today's meeting are saints, we are edified, and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Let's turn to with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Verse 15. Let's read verse 15 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, 1, 2, 3, go. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God. They are profitable for doctrine, for proof, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17. God may be thoroughly furnished unto her. So beautiful. So Paul tells Timothy that scriptures are to make us wise unto what? Salvation. So it means that when we read scriptures, we should see God's saving plan. Are we together? So what will scriptures mean in 2 Timothy? It will mean Genesis to what? Malachi. Genesis to what? Malachi. So that means Genesis to Malachi is what to make us wise unto what? Salvation. So a good way to know you've read Genesis to Malachi is when you see God saving what? Look at Luke 24. Look at Luke 24, verse 24. And certain of them went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophet hath spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to what? Enter into his glory. Verse 27 together, 1, 2, 3, go. And beginning at Moses and the prophet, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Hallelujah. Last week we started a teaching on the redemption that we have, right? We look at how redemption that we have, which is salvation, is eternal. A man that is saved once is forever perpetually saved. We've been trying to examine scriptures that teach about that. Look at Luke 22. Look at Luke 22. Look at Luke 22, verse 1. Look at Luke 22, verse 1. It says, Luke 22, verse 1. Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew near, which is called the what? So what is the feast of the unleavened bread called? Now, where, if you see Passover in the Bible, where should your mind go to? Exodus. Are we together? Right? So when you see Passover, your mind should go to Exodus. Now, Passover was first a verb that happened in Exodus before it became a noun, which became a ceremony. Are we together? Are we together? First a verb, and it became a noun, which became a what? A ceremony. So in the real sense, when it says the feast of the unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover, it means that the Passover was a festival that was celebrated from Moses up until Jesus' time. Are we together? So did Jesus start Passover? No. So it means that Moses started Passover, or in Moses' time, Passover started, and by extension, it led to what? The practice that was done over the years. Are we together? And he sent Peter and John saying, go prepare us a Passover. And he sent Peter and John, verse 8, saying, go prepare for us the Passover that we may what? That we may eat. Look at verse 13. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the what? Passover. Now hold your hands in Luke 22 and go to 1 Corinthians 5. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. It says, purge out therefore the old living, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are what? Unleavened. For even Christ our what? Passover is sacrificed for us. Hold on. So it means that the teaching of Passover in Exodus is to point to the person of what? Christ. So who is our Passover right now? Christ. In Luke 22, go back to Luke 22. Luke 22, Luke 22. And they went and found as they had said unto them, and they made ready the what? Passover. Right? So it means that the Passover was something that was to be made what? Ready. 1 Corinthians 5, 7, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. So it says, purge out therefore the old living, that ye may be new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is what? Sacrifice for us. So it means that when you deal with the Passover conversation, you must deal with what? Sacrifice. What does Paul tell Corinthians? He says that what? Christ is our Passover sacrifice for us. So go back to Luke 22. Go back to Luke 22. Go back to Luke 22. Look at Luke 22. So look at Luke 22, verse 8. And he sent Peter and Paul and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. Now, hold on. If they were to go and prepare the Passover, will there be a sacrifice? Okay, let's keep reading, right? Look at verse 10. And he said unto them, behold, when ye enter into the city, there shall be a man that meets your needs, bearing a pitcher of flour, following him to the house where he entereth in. Look at verse 12. And he shall show ye a large upper room, furnished that ye make ready. Verse 13 now says, and they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the what? Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. So they made ready the Passover. Look at verse 7. Look at Luke 22, verse 7. Then came the day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover must be what? So the Passover was something that was to be sacrificed, that is to be killed. What does Paul tell you about our Passover? Our Passover is Christ, which is sacrificed for us. Are we together? So the Passover of Moses and his time was pointed to the Passover of Christ, which is sacrificed for us. Are we together? So when you now see verse 17, and he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take it and divide it amongst yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine. So what was inside the cup? Fruit of the vine. Are we together? So when he now says, look at verse 19, and he took the bread and gave thanks, and he broke it and gave it unto them. Let me ask you a question. Which bread will you actually see when the Bible says he took the bread? Natural bread. Now, let me ask you a question. They were having the feast of the unleavened bread. So it means that the bread that Jesus took was the unleavened. So what does he now say? He says, verse 19, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance. Dear saints, that bread that he was holding, was that his body? Was that his body? So where was that bread to become his body? It was to become his body in their minds. Are we together? So he says, this cup is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Look at Matthew 22. Look at Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Look at Matthew 22, verse, look at Matthew 26. Let's see 26 then. Let's see 26, verse, look at 26, verse 26. Matthew 26, 26. And as they were what? Eating. What were they eating? The Passover that was killed, and it will include the bread. Are we together? So they were eating. Are we together? Jesus took what? Bread. Can we say Jesus took unleavened bread? So can we say Jesus took the unleavened bread they were eating? Are we together? Okay, so it means that they were eating before he took the bread. They had already been eating. Then he took the bread. What did he say about the bread? He says, he blessed it, that is, he spoke about it or said something, and he did what? He broke it and he gave it to the disciples, and he said, take it, this is my body. Dear saint, was it his body they were eating? What were they eating? Unleavened bread. So when he says, this is my body, where should that be his body? It should be his body in your minds. Are we together? So what he broke for you is not the living bread, but what he broke for you is himself as the bread. Praise God. Okay, you'll see that soon. So look at verse 28. This is my blood. Dear saint, was there any doctor that you steering to take out his blood and pour in the cup? No. So when he says, this is my blood, where should his blood be? In your mind. Listen to what he's saying. Are we together? So this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the what? Remission of sins. Is there comma prosperity? Is there comma prosperity? So is the blood of Jesus for prosperity? No. Is the blood of Jesus for wealth? No. It's a scam. It's a hoax. Is that a word? H-A-U-X. Yeah? It's an unfortunate theory that is taught in the church. The blood of Jesus was shed for that which no man on earth can have without believing in the blood, which is sin. So if it is something that a man on earth can have without believing in your Jesus, it is not part of why Jesus shed his blood. It's an insult for Jesus to shed his blood for that which other men can have without him. He came to do that singular thing which no other person will ever have if they don't believe in his work. Are we together? So, when you see that Jesus on the Passover table takes the bread, takes the wine, Paul now tells you, Christ is our Passover. Are we together? Look at John chapter 6, verse 30. Look at John 6, 31. It says, our father did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now hold on. These people and their fathers, did their fathers eat miraculous bread? Did they eat miraculous bread? Where did they say the bread is from? They said the bread is from heaven. Look at what Jesus says. Jesus says, verse 32, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven. Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth to you true bread from heaven. Are we together? Did Moses give them miraculous bread? Yes. Is that the bread that comes from heaven? No. Okay, hold your hands in John 6 and run with me to Matthew 6. Look at Matthew 6. Look at Matthew 6. Look at Matthew 6. Look at Matthew 6, verse 11. Or look at Matthew 6, verse 9. Look at Matthew 6, verse 9. Look at Matthew 6, 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. 1, 2, 3, go. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So Jesus says, our Father, which art in where? Heaven. What does Jesus tell you in John chapter 6 about the Father in heaven? The Father in heaven gives true bread. Did you get that? The Father in heaven gives true bread. So what does Jesus say? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Look at verse 11. 1, 2, 3, go. Give us this day our what? Daily bread. The word there, daily, means sufficient. It's not every day. Yeah? It is only every day to the degree that it means eternity. Did you get that? So give us this day our sufficient bread. How many of you does God give you bread every day? The people that had miraculous bread in Exodus, are they still collecting bread today? So when Jesus says, you give us this day our daily bread, what does daily bread mean? Remember, Jesus says, Paul tells you Christ is our Passover. Jesus tells you that, Luke tells you that Jesus took the bread and he broke it. What is the bread? The bread is to, he now said, this is my body. So what is the daily bread that God gives, which is in heaven? It is the bread of Jesus. Okay, in case you are not sure, look at that again. So he says, give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12 now says, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. That's a little wrong translation, because it will mean that God is taking example from your example. Yeah, as we forgive, God forgives. No, it is as he forgives, you forgive. Did you get that? You cannot lead God in forgiveness work. Praise God. You cannot. Yeah, so he says, you give us this day, a better way to read verse 12, you give us this day, or you forgive us all. Verse 11 says, you give us this day our daily bread. What does daily bread mean? It really means you forgive our what? Debts. So we forgive what? Others. So the daily bread that God gives is the eternal bread that we eat when we believe the gospel. Go back to John 6. Go back to John 6. Look at John 6. John chapter 6, verse 33 now. Look at John 6, verse 33. It says, for the bread of God is what? He which cometh down from what? Heaven, and giveth what? Life. So, Matthew 6 tells us about our Father in heaven. What does the Father in heaven give? The Father in heaven gives what? Daily bread. What is daily bread? Sufficient bread. What is sufficient bread? The Spirit, which is forgiveness of sins. You will see that shortly. Are we together? Look at verse 35. John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never what? hungry. Dear saints, the people that Moses fed with miraculous bread, were they hungry after that bread? Yes. But Jesus says that the true bread that comes from heaven, when a man eats it, you can never be hungry. Look at it again. It says, and I'm the bread of life. So it means that the bread in the wilderness was to point to the bread of life. Are we here? What is the bread of life? The bread of life is the giving or forgiveness of sins. Are we here? Are we here? So he says, he that eateth me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never what? Thirst. Look at verse 39. This is the Father's will which had sent me, that all which he had given me I should lose nothing, but should raise them up again at the last day. Look at verse 31. Look at verse 31, everybody. Look at verse 31. He says, then the Jews murmured at him. Why did they murmur at him? He said, what? I am the bread which came down from what? Heaven. And they said, is this not the normal Jesus we know, the son of Joseph? So, verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not amongst yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Look at verse 46 or verse 47. Verily, verily, look at verse 47. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Verse 48 together. 1, 2, 3, go. I am the bread of life. I am that what? I am that bread of life. Hallelujah. So the daily bread that the Father in heaven gives is the bread of life. Amen. Are we here? So the bread of life is the daily bread, which is the sufficient bread that the Father gives. So have you eaten the bread of life today? How do you know you've eaten it? You've believed the message of the bread. You see, the Bible is a very interesting book that it uses almost anything to teach about salvation. Are we together? Almost anything. The same salvation is what you call as land to Abraham. What you call as seed to Abraham. What you call as promise. What you call as seed to Adam, Eve. So, look at verse 49. Look at what Jesus says. Let's read verse 49 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they are what? They are dead. So did Jesus acknowledge that they ate miraculous manna? Yes. But Jesus says that the manna or the bread that comes from heaven supplies everlasting life. Are we together? Look at verse 50. 1, 2, 3, go. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. So, have you eaten the bread? Yes. So it means that you will not die. Is that physical death? No. It simply means you have eternal life, everlasting life. Are we together? Let's read verse 51 together. Everyone together. Verse 51. 1, 2, 3, go. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall what? He shall what? Next one. And the bread which I will give is my. The bread I will give is my. Why do you suppose he says, take it, this is my body? Because he's talking about how he will give himself. Did you see that? Did you see that? The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Look at verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man. Dear saint, was he saying except they eat the bread on the table during the feast of the unleavened bread? Was he saying except they eat that bread on the table? What is the bread they are to eat? It is the bread of himself. So, how will Jesus, who did not initiate the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, ask you to continue doing Feast of the Unleavened Bread when he is the fulfillment of the feast? Did you get that? Did you get that? There was a festival, there was a Passover that was pointing to the person of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. So, it means that when Jesus is on the table and you see bread, who should you see as the true bread in that environment? Jesus. He says, I am that bread of life. Yeah, so, you know, people have a lot of debate about do this in remembrance of me. We've done over 30 hours on that, explaining that. You should go to our website and listen to that Investigative Scriptures Series 3B. What does do this in remembrance of me simply mean? So, look at what he now says. He now says, Verse 33, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man. Dear saint, have you eaten Jesus' flesh? Have you eaten Jesus' flesh? Did you eat his physical flesh? How did you eat his flesh? You ate his flesh by eating the bread, that is, believing the bread. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, he now says in verse 50, where are we? 54, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood. Amen. So what is eating his flesh? Eating his flesh is to drink his blood. Was his blood in that cup? No. What was that practice? Jesus met the practice of the feast and he partook in the feast. Look at verse 54, verse 5. For my flesh is what? Meat indeed, and my blood is what? Drink indeed. 56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. Verse 57 together, 1, 2, 3, go. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Verse 58, 1, 2, 3, go. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. You see, he never fails to acknowledge or remind them that the people who ate manna are dead. So it means that the miraculous bread in the wilderness was to point to the miracle bread. Did you get that? The miraculous bread was to point to the miracle bread. The miraculous bread cannot sustain your life forever, but the miracle bread sustains life forever. What sustenance is that? The sustenance of eternal life. Spiritual life. Are we together? Look at verse 58 again. Not as your fathers did eat and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall what? Live forever. Dear saints, say, I will live forever. For I have the Spirit. Now look at verse 62. Look at verse 63. It is the Spirit that what? What does he now call the bread? What does he now call the bread? The Spirit. Okay, hold on this way. Remember, he said when you eat bread, you will have eternal life. Are we together? What does he now call the bread that gives eternal life? The Spirit. So it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited what? Nothing. The words which I spake unto you, they are what? Spirit. So how do you eat the true bread of heaven? You eat the true bread of heaven by receiving the bread or the word. Are we together? Did you get that? So have you eaten the true bread of heaven? How did you eat it? You ate it by believing the message of the bread. Praise God. Praise God. Say, I'm full of bread. Oh, glory to God. I wonder if you work in bakeries here. Say, I'm full of bread. So to be full of bread means to be full of the Spirit. Are we together? Are we together? So he says that the words I speak unto you, they are spirit. I mean, they are life. But there are some of you that what? So what is the message of the bread? The message of the bread is for you to believe. Praise God. The message of the bread is for you to believe. So the daily bread is the living bread. Is that true? Which is the true bread, which is his what? His Spirit. So has God given us the sufficient bread? Has God given us the sufficient bread? What did he give? His Spirit. Hallelujah. Dear saints, for you to lose your salvation, you have to vomit the bread you ate. Praise God. Praise God. For you to lose your salvation, you have to vomit the bread you ate. So if you did not eat the bread physically, you cannot vomit it physically. Why? Because the bread is about the Spirit. Hallelujah. His blood is about his Spirit. His blood is about his life. So we started looking at a few scriptures in Hebrews. Go to Hebrews quickly. Go to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, 5. You should be able to quote that now. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation be without what? Covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. What is the thing that you should be content with? Not your shoe. Not your house, not your face, may I fight you for now. Are we together? Are we together? So be content with such thing as he have. What is that? So what he says that he have? He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor what? Forsake thee. Why do you suppose he will never leave you nor forsake you? Because you cannot vomit the bread. The bread is an eternal seal in your body. Hey, praise God. Hallelujah. The bread is an eternal bread, that is the eternal spirit that you've received upon believing the gospel. Are we together? Are we together? So bread is good. Bread is good. You see all the time. And all the time, the bread is good. Praise God. So bread is something that you eat by believing. So when you see bread, 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 Jesus says, I am that bread. So when you see Jesus on the table, he takes bread and breaks it. What is he saying? I am the bread that will be broken for you. Are we together? When you see the cup and you see the fruit of the wine, what do you say? This is my blood shed for the remission of what? Sins. What does he say about it? He says, divide it amongst yourself. Now, you know what? If you buy Easy Bite bread, if I take one loaf, you take one loaf, and there are 20 loaves, what is remaining? 18. But Jesus' bread is different. The bread of Jesus is such that if you take one loaf, you've taken the 20 loaves. And there's still 19 for others to take. For every other loaf others will take, they are taking the full loaf. It's a full meal. Hallelujah. It's a full meal. So, the Spirit of God in every believer is the Spirit of God in all believers. Why? Because your bread is not today's bread. My own is yesterday's bread. Your own is not tomorrow's bread. Are we together? But the bread that we have is the bread of heaven. So Jesus says, Hebrew says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with what ye have. For he has said, I will never what? Leave you, nor what? Forsake you. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Hebrews 9, 11. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, this is to say, not of buildings, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own what? Is everything okay? By his own what? But by his own what? He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained what? So what does Jesus' body obtain? It obtains eternal redemption. What does the bread of God obtain? Eternal redemption. Look at verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through what? Who through what? The eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God. What now happens to you? Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So can you see what Jesus gives? The assurance we have from the resurrection of Jesus is the assurance of eternal presence. Are we together? I will never leave you nor forsake you. You have been redeemed eternally. Look at Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25. Look at Hebrews 7 25. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25. It says, wherefore he is able to save them to the what? What saves us? Who saves us? The bread. So it means that what got you saved is God's bread. Are we together? What got you saved is God's bread. So that God's bread is able to save us to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make what? Intercession for them. Dear saints, that which God has done through his bread is forever. That which God has done through his bread is forever. So a man who has eaten God's bread cannot vomit it. Oh yeah, vomit God's bread. Try it now. Is all your intestine will pack. Are we together? Yeah, the day you... That is why the message of the gospel is not about physical bread. Your mind must leave physical to what? Spiritual. Are we together? So Jesus could not have been asking you to be sharing physical bread to remember him. Dear saints, what we do this remembrance of me mean? It will mean to keep that which you have seen as a template for yourself in relating with others. Are we together? So his bread, which is his body, was broken for man so that man will receive it and sacrifice himself for other men. as what we call love walk. Did you get that? Did you get that? So God as bread is bread in you so that you can be bread broken for others. Are we here? I said that again. God is bread in you as bread in you so that you can be bread broken for others. So look at Hebrews 6. We looked at this on Sunday. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. Can that be those who have eaten bread? Did we see that on Wednesday? Yeah. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. To be enlightened means something that lights up. Right? Now, he says once. We looked at it on Wednesday that the word once is used for something done one off or upon one occasion. Are we together? So, and I've tasted of the heavenly gift. So what does it mean to taste the heavenly gift? To vitally experience. What is the heavenly gift? Our Father in heaven gives what? Daily what? Our Father in heaven gives what? Our Father in heaven gives what? Daily. So what is the gift the Father in heaven gives? It is the gift of what? Sufficient bread. So if he says, if you've tasted of the heavenly gift, that is, you are partakers of the what? The Holy Ghost. So the heavenly gift is the Holy Ghost, which is God's bread. Hallelujah. Look at verse 5. He now says, and I've tasted the good word of the God and the powers of the world to come. He now says, if they shall fall away, to renew them again. Now we're able to look at that word renew as a word to start a process afresh. So Hebrews 6 verse 4 to 6 is teaching that the work of redemption cannot be done again. So a layman will see these verses and say, ah, once a man, look at Galatians 6 1. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore. Eh? So, can a man which is a bro fall into sin? Hello, saints. Can a man which is a bro fall into sin? What does he need for his sins to be forgiven? The sacrifice of Jesus. Are we together? What man needs for forgiveness of sins is the sacrifice of Jesus. Can we say the sacrifice of the bread? Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Sacrifice of the bread? Yes. So, when a man who has eaten the bread of God sins, what do? You restore. Look at it again now. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, what happens? Restore such a one in the what? Spirit of what? Meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be what? Tempted. Are we together? So, if Paul tells you when a brother is found in fault, what do? You restore him in the spirit of meekness. So, it means that Hebrews 6 now says, when a brother is found in fault, you cannot restore him. He says it's impossible to renew him. So, it's either Galatians 6 is correct or Hebrews 6 is wrong. Or Hebrews 6 is correct, or Galatians 6 is wrong. Or both of them are correct, but we need to examine them properly. Are we together?
Yes,
are we here?
Yes, sir.
Now, so go back to Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews. Hebrews 6. So, it says, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto what? Repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. What is he saying? He's saying that it is impossible to redo the sacrifice that makes a man saved. Because that will mean you need to what? Crucify Jesus afresh and put him into an open shame. Can Jesus die again? Can Jesus die again? So it means that for Jesus not to be able to die again, it means that you cannot redo that sacrifice of the death and the resurrection. Because Hebrews shows us that that work is done once. Upon one occasion. So, the validity of your indwelling of the Spirit is to the degree at which that work was perfectly done. Did you get that? The validity of the Spirit that you have, the validity of the forgiveness of sins that you have, is to the degree of the perfect work that was once done. So, let me show you something in Hebrews 10. Look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Look at Hebrews 10. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 25. Are we there? Hebrews 10, 25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. You see, that means it's not today. Some people started saying, we can do without church. Abby? Abby? We can do without you. I just want to worship God on my bed. You know, I just wake up in the morning and just play gospel songs on YouTube. And I feel the presence of God like I've never felt in the church before. You are either not going to the right church or you are not paying attention to what is taught. You are either of those categories. Are we together? You know, this Christianity is a personal thing. It's who I am in the closet. So he says, do not neglect the gathering of saints. It is an instruction not to miss church. It is part of our Christian faith. See, a saint is one. How do you know a serious saint? A serious saint is one who you see that will pay attention to the gathering of saints. Are we together? So if you are one who is always having excuses upon excuses, all the churches in this Nigeria, none of them is preaching the truth. You have only gone to one. All of them, they are just after prosperity. You know, assumption is the lowest level of knowledge. It's not in scriptures. It is the vulnerability of ignorance masked with an illusion of certainty. Praise God, that's not too deep. Yeah, the vulnerability of ignorance masked with an illusion. What is an illusion? Make believe. Are we together? Are we together? So, you've not won one soul in your life, yet all churches are preaching nonsense. Are we together? You know, it's like saying, you know, I was talking to someone recently. There's no church I've seen that is preaching the truth of God's word. Do you know that for you to say that statement, there's a lot of pride in you because you feel like you know the God's word. You know the God's word, so when you see it, you will know. Are we together? There's no church in Nigeria. All of them are just after your money. Stay in your house, so service God. Just serve God and just connect. Just any church you want to attend, just go live stream when the pastor wants to just preach. And once you just finish, just go away, because you see, God wants your heart to be guarded. Oga, do not neglect the gathering of saints. I was talking to someone the other time. I was saying all those very ridiculous things. And I said, what's your name? Say his name is, what's his name again? No, I won't mention his name so you won't know him tomorrow. He shall say his name is Sam. Let's assume. Oh no, somebody is Sam. Gideon. Let's say Gideon. Right? Before he started the keys, bro. Sam. Yeah? Says Gideon. I said, there's one Gideon. Like, unfortunately for me, I knew someone of his name who had done something terrible. There's a Gideon that I know who did this and this and this. All Gideons on earth are the same because of him. He said, but it's not like that now. You see yourself. For you to be able to say all churches in Nigeria preach the same thing, you should have gone to at least nothing less than 2,000. Because in area one alone, I think they're up to 1,000. So you must have gone to 2,000 churches to be sure that they are saying the same thing. That is why, let me tell you something. The solution to a church that hurts you is another church. Did you get that? The remedy to a church that hurts you, the remedy to a church that backstabs you, the remedy to a church that does evil to you in your knowledge is another church, not your bedroom. Are we together? So, look at verse 26 where we are going to. For if we sin willfully, if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Let me ask you a question. There is one sin Jesus did not die for. What is the sin? The sin of what? Unbelief. So if Hebrews tells you that, there is no sacrifice for this sin, what will it be in reference to? Unbelief. So when it says, now let me ask you a question. Brasam, which of them do you like lying or stealing? Choose one. Do you like anyone that pick first? The other one pick the other one? No? Anyone? Okay. So both of you are lying and stealing. Right? Together. What brings remission of sins for both of them? The bread. If he sins, if he steals willfully, you know, last week we were teaching about those that steal. I mean, now. So people can steal without knowing. So there's a difference between stealing willfully and stealing where you don't know. So imagine you are lying willfully and you are lying unwillfully. Is it the same sacrifice in there for both of you? So that you are deliberate in lying and you are not deliberate in lying, is it not the same sacrifice? So when Hebrews now says, if we sin willfully, is it about lying? It cannot be now, because either willful sin of lying or non-willful sin of stealing, it is the same sacrifice that is needed. So let me explain something. Go back to verse 1. Or before you go to verse 1, run with me to 1 John 2:1. Look at 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things I write unto you that ye what? Sin not. 1 John 2:1. I write this unto you that you what? Sin not. He says, and if any man should sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Look at verse 2. Let's read verse 2 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And he is the propitiation. For the sins of the world. But from the of the sins of the world. Now look at verse 12. 1, 2, 3, go. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are dear sins. Does this sin that are forgiven, does it include willful and non-willful? So the believer's sins are forgiven. Right? So I write unto you that your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Look at Ephesians 1, 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. It says, in whom we have what? Is it in whom we have what we ask? We have? So it means that the saint is perpetually with forgiveness of sins. Or let's say it this way, the saint is perpetually with redemption. So in him we have, not we will have, redemption through his what? Blood. What does that mean? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So you receive forgiveness of sins not according to how many words you used to ask for mercy. Amen? You receive forgiveness of sins according to the riches of... So to the degree of God's wealth in forgiveness is to the degree you receive. Are we together? So it means we have what? Forgiveness. Now, when it says forgiveness of sins, does that include willful lying? Does that include willful lying? Does that include willful stealing? So it means that if we sin willfully, we need to look at it in context. So go back to Hebrews 10, verse 26. Hebrews 10, verse 26. Go back to Hebrews 10, verse 26. Or go back to verse 1 first. Hebrews 10, verse 1. It says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices which were offered year after year make the commerce thereunto what? Perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers once poor should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Look at verse 4. For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away what? So verse 5, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice of sins, thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast what? Prepared me. So, let me ask you a question. With what we are reading, is that what you call the knowledge of truth? What is knowledge of truth from what we have been reading? The blood of goats and cows could not forgive sins. Is that the truth? Is that the knowledge of truth? Go to verse 14. For by one offering... he are perfected forever them that are what? Is that knowledge of truth? Look at verse 14, 15. 1, 2, 3, go. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before. Is that the seal? Is that the seal? Beautiful. Look at verse 16. This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and their minds will I write them. Verse 17. 1, 2, 3, go. And iniquities will I remember no more. Let's read verse 18 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Now where remission of this is, there is no more offering of sin. So when you jump to verse 26, if we sin willfully, what does sin willfully mean? Look at it. If we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remained no more sacrifice for sin. So the word there, sin, there will mean to be without a share in. Let me explain that word for us. The word there, sin, is to be without a share in, to be away from something. The word there, sin, to be away from something. To be away from something, that's the word there, sin. To be away from something. So, if we be away from something willfully, did you get that? If we be away from something willfully, After that, we have heard the knowledge, or we have seen the knowledge of the truth, there is no sacrifice for what? Being away. Did you see what I just did there? What does it mean to sin willfully? To sin willfully means to reject the knowledge of truth that has been offered to you. Are we together? What is the knowledge of truth? You must have read from verse 1 or verse 3. Look at chapter 4, Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. So it means that if you don't enter into his rest, you come short of it. Are we here? So there are two options. Either you enter into his rest or you come short of it. What does it mean to enter into his rest? Look at verse 2. For unto us the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Right? But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that what? Heard it. So what will it mean to sin willfully? To sin willfully is to not mix the word which you hear with faith. Did you get that? Yes. To sin willfully is to not mix the word which you heard, the knowledge of the truth, with faith. That is, do not believe. So it means that when you don't believe, what happens? You come short of it. Are we together? The only sin that Jesus did not die for, or the only sin that Jesus did not sort out with his resurrection, is the sin of unbelief. What does that mean? It means that if a man decides not to lie and steal all his life, but doesn't believe in the sacrifice of Jesus, he can never have eternal life. But if a man who believes in the sacrifice of Jesus finds himself in fault, he still has what? Eternal life. So a man who doesn't have eternal life, there is no sacrifice to redeem him from wrath. Next week, we'll start looking at wrath again. I'll start teaching about the wrath of God. What is the wrath of God? The wrath of God cannot be found in God, because wrath is not a fruit of the Spirit expected from us. Are we together? So, when it says, if we sin willfully, now, look at verse 26 again. If we sin willfully, Hebrews 10:26, if we sin willfully, after that we have heard the knowledge of the truth, or we have seen the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no sacrifice for sin. But what will now be your repercussion? Let's read verse 27 together. 1, 2, 3, go. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation we shall devour. So what do you think the adversary will be? Adversary will be opposition to what? To the gospel, which is opposition to the truth. Are we together? Okay, let me explain this in simpler terms. Go to John 3:16. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he what? Now, that he gave his only begotten son. Is that in the resurrection? Yes, sir. Resurrection? Yes, sir. Is that resurrection? Yes, sir. Or incarnation? Resurrection. Resurrection, right? So where did God give his only son? God gave his only son in the resurrection. We started with the incarnation. But the giving that gets you saved is the resurrection, not the incarnation. What does incarnation mean? Incarnation just simply means the what? Becoming a man, right? So, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? So, if God gave his son, you believe, what happens to you? You will not perish. If you don't believe, what happens to you? A fearful looking, fiery indignation. We read that in Hebrews 10:27, right? So, it means that your destruction is as a repercussion of your decision. So it means that your decision is self-destructive. You see that? Yeah? Your decision to reject the knowledge of truth is to sin willfully. Are we together? So if I go out to the streets and preach to a Muslim, and I preach to him how Jesus is the only way to the Father, and Jesus is the only way to have eternal life, if he listens to me and doesn't mix my words with faith in his heart, what happened? He is sinning willfully. He is rejecting an association with that knowledge of truth. So look at verse 36 of John 3. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath what? He that believeth on the Son hath what? Can we say he that believeth on the bread? Do you see that? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting. Do you know what Jesus makes you see? He tells you what happens to the person who believes not. Let's read the next line together. 1, 2, 3, go. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, even though he's living. Praise God. So what life will he not see? Eternal life. But the wrath of God, what? Abide. So if you believe not the Son, but you believe the Son, you have eternal life. If you believe not the Son, what happens? In your destruction, there is wrath. Which is what? Destruction. So if I preach the message of truth to you and you are not a Christian and you don't mix it with faith in your heart, what happens? You've sinned willfully. And there is no sacrifice for that sin of sinning willfully. Are we together? Let me show you something quickly. See verse 38. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not what? Tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. What is supposed to draw back with me? What does it mean to sin willfully? That is to reject the gospel. What does it mean to draw back? It's to reject the gospel now. Look at it again. It says, look, Hebrews 10. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul shall have no what? Look at verse 39. 1, 2, 3, go. But we are not of them who draw back unto what? Perdition. But of them that believe. That means there are two people when the message of truth is presented. There are those who draw back unto perdition, and there are those who what? Believe, which is to receive. Are we together? So what does it mean to draw back? To draw back means having seen the truth, you reject it and stay away. So can we say to sin willfully is to draw back? Are we here? Can we say to sin willfully is to draw back? Can we say to draw back is to sin willfully? Now, can we say to accept the gospel is to what? Not sin willfully. And to not draw back. Let me show you one more. Go to Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 12. So we're not like them that draw back. Say, I have not drawn back unto perdition. I have received eternal life. Look at Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought into what? And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought into what? Desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Verse 26. Go back to verse 22 quickly. Look at 22. There was brought unto him one possessed with a what? Blind and dumb, and he healed him. Insomuch that the blind and dumb both speak and saw. That means Jesus healed a demon-possessed person. Are we together? And all the people were amazed and said, is that not the son of David? So, remember, Jesus healed a demon-possessed person. And they were asking, is that not the son of David? So Jesus began to teach about something. Every kingdom divided against itself cannot what? Stand. Look at verse 27. And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judge. But if I cast out devils by the what? By the what? Then the kingdom of God is what? Come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's what? How can one enter into a strong man's house? Did you get that? And what? And spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, then he will spoil his house. Look at verse 30. 1, 2, 3, go. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me is scattereth abroad. Verse 31. 1, 2, 3, go. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be unto men, but the blasphemy against the what? Shall not be what? You know, this verse is what makes a lot of people not to speak in tongues. Eh? I don't want to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. Eh? I'm just saying nonsense. Are we together? But look at what it says next. Look at verse 32. 1, 2, 3, go. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Wait, who is the Son of Man? Jesus. Are we together? What is Jesus saying? If you speak against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven you. But if you speak against the Holy Ghost, you cannot be forgiven. In a normal layman's language, it is the Holy Ghost is higher than the Son of Man. Abi? Is that not what he's saying? Okay, but that's not what he's saying. So look at the next verse now. He now says, whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the what? Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So it means that the speaking against the Holy Ghost can never be forgiven. Go back to where we started from this teaching. What is that sin which can never be forgiven? Unbelieving. That is not believing the gospel. So what is not believing the gospel? It is to reject the Holy Ghost. What does it mean to reject the Holy Ghost? It is to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. That's why it is a sin that cannot be forgiven. Not when you insult Holy Ghost. Even if you say Holy Ghost, you are stupid. That's not what he's teaching there. You can insult Jesus, but Holy Ghost, leave him there. Holy Ghost, don't let me be normal. You know that song? Holy Ghost, allow your brain to touch you. You know, so blasphemy against the Holy Ghost means to reject the work of the Holy Ghost. What is Jesus saying? You can insult, remember, Jesus casted out demons. So it means that Jesus was using the casting out of demons to teach about what salvation. That's why it says when you cast out demons, what happened? The kingdom of God is come unto you. That is salvation. Now, let me ask you a question. What is the strong man that has goods? Eh? The devil. What is the real devil? Hold on. You got it? Are we together? For you to deal with a strong man and his goods, for you to release his prisoners, what do? You deal with the strong man. So we were prisoners in the house of the strong man. Who is the strong man? Sin and death. So Jesus had to deal with sin and death to release us from the prison of sin and death. Did you get that? So when you say, you must first attack a strong man. The strong man is what? Sin and death. In attacking that, in dealing with that, you are letting go of what? The prisoners. So in the real sense, his defeat over sin and death is the let go of prisoners, which is what? The forgiveness of sins. So when it says, if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, that means you can insult him, you are healing the sick in your name. You are doing whatever in your name. But after you do all those things, please accept the Holy Ghost, which is what? The proof that you have forgiveness of sins. So let's take it back each step. Right? What got you saved? Believing the bread. What is the bread? The Spirit. Who is the bread? Christ Jesus. What? Who gives the bread? The Father in heaven. So the Father in heaven gives the heavenly bread, which is the heavenly gift of his Son Jesus, which is his Spirit, such that when that truth is presented to man, if a man rejects it, he is sinning willfully. A man who rejects it, that is sinning willfully, is a man who draws back unto perdition. Are we together? And a man who draws back unto perdition is a man who blasphemes against the Holy Ghost. Did you see that? Did you see that? To blaspheme against the Holy Ghost is to draw back into perdition, which is to what? Sin willfully, which is to reject the knowledge of the truth. What is the truth about? The truth is about the fact that the sacrifice of sin is done once by the man, Jesus. So, the moment you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, you've come short of God's rest. Moment you believe the Holy Ghost, you can never blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Moment you receive the Holy Ghost, you can never blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. You can never draw back onto perdition. And you can never what? Sin willfully. So it means that sinning willfully must leave your mind as what? Lying with deliberateness or lying deliberately. What does sinning willfully mean? It means to reject the knowledge of truth. What does drawing back onto perdition mean? It means to reject the knowledge of truth. What does it mean to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost? Reject the knowledge of truth. What is the knowledge of truth? The gospel of your salvation. Are we together? So is anyone who has eaten the bread of God here? So if you've eaten the bread of God, it means that you're perpetually going to be on God's team. We have come to what? The heavenly Jerusalem. Pray in the Holy Ghost while we enter this service. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Talk in the Holy Ghost.